Happy holidays, everyone, and welcome to the Bumblecast. I'm your host, Ian Flynn, the Bumble King, and joining me as always is my caroling compatriot, Kyle Krauss.
Deck the halls with buzz.
Festive, man, festive!
Oh, okay, is that what we're doing here? Okay, I'm up.
Get some fa-la-la-la-las in your la-la-la.
What does that even mean?
I don't know, it's archaic or something. Anyway!
Christmas music is so weird.
We are well into the month of December. What have you been up to, my fine feathered friend?
Well, I don't have any feathers yet, but I'm working on it. But I...
plumage. Grow.
I'm working on it. I've not been up to much, so I don't have a whole lot to talk about. I guess the most important and interesting thing I've been up to is I got back to playing American Truck Simulator. That's important, isn't it? It's very important. Hey, it's a good game.
You gotta do what you like.
Don't even do that. And actually, I've been playing the beta of that game because they are currently in the midst of updating the map. They are rescaling the size of the map from a 1/35th scale to 1/20th scale to make it a lot bigger. Because
I remember you saying on a previous show that they were going to do that, because
yep.
It's not like it's individual maps. You actually drive cross country.
Right. Exactly. So it, like, I guess it just loads as you're driving. So
sure.
Basically what they're doing is they're just upping the size of the map just because they can. They're extending a lot of the roads that are more rural out in the middle of nowhere and the highways. And that's basically really all they've done. It's actually, you know, pretty nice. They have fixed a few of the accuracy quibbles that I've had previously. still not entirely 100% fixed on that front, but yeah, you know, it honestly, with something that is to scale like that, it's more of the feel of it rather than the actual accuracy. And I would say that having driven through the majority of Arizona and through a I've been to pretty good portions of California, both northern and southern. More southern than northern, but still. The feel is there. So it's not 100% accurate as far as like city layouts or anything like that, but they feel accurate, and that's really what you want.
They err on the side of fun.
Exactly. And more so being able to actually get somewhere without having to drive for hours and hours and hours to get anywhere. So that's really all I've been up to. How about you, Ian?
Well, game-wise, I burned through Pokemon Sun while Lee was playing through Pokemon Moon. And if you were ever going to jump onto the franchise, This would be the game to do it.
That's what I've heard.
This sets the bar so far beyond the previous generations, it's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
It's loads of fun to play. Looking back at the older installments, they were fun enough, but this feels so much more fun to interact with.
Mm-hmm.
And story-wise, it's one of the more simpler ones, I guess. But it's also one of the more mature and honestly disturbing at times.
I've heard that the story is more engaging than previous ones.
Because it's on a much more personal level, I think.
Right.
A lot of the villains of the previous generations were, you know, mobsters and eco-terrorists and people looking to reshape reality itself. And Sun and Moon is focused very closely on a family and it being torn apart and how the characters deal with that in each other. And when the major themes of the game are companionship and trust and working together, that really takes an interesting spin on it all. It really is. There are moments in it that if you take it at face value, it's like, huh, that's a little weird. And then when you put the pieces together, you're like, holy mackerel, how did they get away with this in a freaking Pokemon game?
Huh. That's interesting.
I mean, you wouldn't think there would be undertones of family abuse in a freaking Pokemon game. And it isn't heavy-handed. It isn't like a very special episode of Pokemon. It's an organic part of the story, and it really takes you back.
That's
and on top of it, the colorful monsters that you pit against each other for your enjoyment are some of the best designs that the series has ever had.
Oh, really?
There is a crab, Kyle,
That
is a boxing crab that has a Rocky Balboa kind of half-lidded eye.
Okay.
And it just kind of it's always got its claws up in its boxing stance and is the coolest thing ever.
Okay, I'll give you that one. It's no Mudkip, but I'll take it.
There isn't a ton of new ones in this, but
yeah,
it feels like there's more variety amongst them. There's more quality rather than quantity.
Well, that's good. I've seen some of the redesigns, and they range from cute to pretty awesome. So,
Yeah. So it's I would definitely recommend picking it up, even if you have no interest in Pokemon whatsoever. This one doesn't feel so much like, here's another Pokemon game. It is, here is a game, and it is about Pokemon. It's different enough to be fresh.
Well, that's pretty cool. Maybe I'll pick it up eventually when I get through my backlog, which won't happen as long as I keep playing American Truck Simulator. So and maybe I should stop playing that.
Yeah. And on top of that, I've just been working. And super excited about this. December 17th. Check your local TV listings for episode 6 of Sonic Boom, season 2. It will be my debut on television, having written an episode for Sonic Boom.
Sonic Boom, Sonic Boom, Sonic Boom.
Sonic Boom, the one where he doesn't shave his arms.
That one doesn't have a good theme song.
Eh.
That one doesn't have a theme song at all, actually.
Well, it's got an intro title theme that kind of gets reused in the action sequences, but it doesn't quite have the same zing as, you know, Sad AM.
Okay, let me think. Yeah. Okay, I remember vaguely that there is a song that plays during the intro to Sonic Boom. The intro is about, like, what? 3 seconds long?
the US version, maybe 10. I've seen the European version is a little longer, but yeah, there's not much of intro, but that's the way cartoons are nowadays. You don't really get a lot of intro outro stuff.
Yeah, and they're only 11 minutes long.
Yeah. I think that's more executive meddling than anything.
Yeah. How long was the script for this episode? Just out of curiosity.
You know, I'd have to look at it again. I don't remember. Because I wrote this thing months and months and months ago.
I was just curious if it was, you know, much shorter than a comic or if it was comparable or anything.
I'd say about comparable because, you know, one printed page is about the length of a minute of copy in voice or TV. So it's 11-minute episode, 20-something pages, maybe. I don't know. I'd have to look at it again.
Huh. Yeah, that would be. Guess that would be fairly comparable. I was just curious.
The thing was, I wrote it so long ago, and I couldn't talk about it because, you know, reasons.
Right.
It's some, like, announce it. Please. And then they did. It's like,
yeah.
Look at me.
That's awesome.
I had to write a thing.
That's awesome. I am looking forward to catching it at some point soon. I hope so. I don't have Cartoon Network, so this is going to be an issue, but I'll figure something out.
I don't know where else it's being played online or all that, so look around. I'm sure you can find it.
Yeah. Cartoon Network, I want to say they're okay. They're decent with their streaming, but I'm not sure. I know Nickelodeon is very stingy and requires you to have cable and blah, 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 whatever. Yeah. Thanks, Viacom. Anyway.
So the topic of today's show is it's Christmas time, and whether you celebrate Christmas or you don't, you can't escape it because it's everywhere.
the holiday spirit
creeps under the door.
You are assaulted by Christmas.
Your Chris's will be crinkled whether you like it or not.
Exactly.
And whether you go to the mall or the grocery store or you're turning on the radio, you're going to listen to Christmas carols. You can't escape it.
Yeah.
So Kyle and I have put together our top 5 lists, our top 5 favorite Christmas carols, and the top 5 that make us beat the radio down with a hammer or run out of the mall screaming, "Why are you doing this to us?" You know, really get into the holiday spirit.
Yes, of course. Now,
preface this. These are our personal opinions. If you enjoy these songs, I'm glad you're getting enjoyment. We are happy that you get enjoyment out of it. But you're so wrong because they're awful songs.
Well, what's funny is a lot of my worst list, I don't necessarily think is outright awful so much as just, well, I'll explain it when we get to it. But yeah, right. I actually quite like a lot of these songs, just maybe not these particular versions. So covers are a big staple of Christmas music anyway, so we'll be getting to that too.
So we're going to start this off with number 5 worst Christmas carols with my personal pick.
You know Dasher and Dancer and Prancer and Vixen, Comet and Cupid and Donner and Blitzen, but do you recall the most famous reindeer of all? Rudolph the Red-Nosed
Reindeer. I'm going to red pill you on Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer here. I don't like it. Because the song, the lesson of the song is, you will be mocked for any physical deformity you have unless someone of a higher power comes down and elevates you in status. And then all the sycophants will rise around you and treat you like they like you. That is a horrible lesson.
Yeah, I've heard that. I've also heard the explanation that regardless of who you are and what you're either capable or incapable of or how you appear, that, you know, you have a purpose, that you have something that you can be a part of. So yeah, I don't know.
That's a great way to spin it. But Rudolph doesn't get a chance until the big man comes down and says, "You boy, I guess I can use you this one night. Come on." And everyone's like, oh, shoot. The big man likes him. Oh, Rudolph, would you like to play some reindeer games? You know, we were just joking when we ostracized you and called you a freak and all that.
I understand. I understand. Now, do you hate the song? I'm curious about your opinion on the, like, maybe not the lyrics specifically, but, you know, the composition, the performance, anything like that you have a problem with? Or is it just the message of the song?
It's a charming song. It's you know, part of the classical Christmas carol scene.
Right.
The schoolyard version with the interjections between every line is still fun to, you know, get into every now and again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, had a very shiny nose like a light bulb and all that jazz. I mean, I don't really hate it. It's just, it's easy to pick on it. This little, well, kind of like poor Rudolph.
Yeah, that's right. See? You're not even giving the song a chance. I like the TV special, Rudolph. I don't know what I think about the message of it. I mean, it could go either way. But I do like that the stop motion animation, especially for its time, still, I think it still looks really pretty cool. And, you know, it's just interesting to watch still, I think.
Oh, sure.
From a technical standpoint, if anything.
And it's just an important lesson that bumbles bounce.
Yes. Yes, that is true. All right. Let's get into my number 5 worst Christmas song. Now, like I said, before we got into this list proper, I don't necessarily hate this song, but I am angry at it because it's because the title is false advertising. It says rockin' around the Christmas tree. Now, imagine when you're young and you are me. Imagine you are me, young. And imagine you see a song titled Rockin' Around the Christmas Tree. Now, I know that when this song was originally composed and recorded, this pretty much qualified as rock.
I was going to say.
But nowadays, it does not. This is not rock. This is not rock and roll. This is not what I expected when I was a kid and saw the word rockin' in the title. Now, it's not a terrible song.
No.
I enjoy it. I enjoy
I
it.
I like this version. I do. I like this version.
I do too. I like it.
About the but second or third time I hear it, though,
but it gets it gets old. Yeah, and it's false advertising. That's my main problem with it. It says I was hoping for, you know, like some, you know, some guitars. I know there are guitars in this song, I guess.
But, a different kind of guitar.
Yeah, right. You know, distorted guitars. That's what I wanted. So, yes, that's it.
So it's retroactively lying to you is the big deal.
That's the problem.
I see.
That's also the problem with my next one. But anyway, we'll get there.
Now, my number five best one is...
Frosty the Snowman was a jolly happy soul. With a corncob pipe and a button nose and two eyes made out of coal. Frosty,
now, never mind that this version is so charmingly old school, but it's the antithesis to Rudolph. Frosty is a very direct and happy story. The children summon a snow golem, and he's like, "What up? I'm a snow golem! Let's have some fun!" And then he starts to melt, because that's what happens to snow, and he's like, "Don't worry. Next winter, I'll come back." There. That's all there is to it. It is a story of hope. It is a story of joy. It's a very simple, heartwarming children's tale. They make a talking snowman, and they have fun with him, and they learn an important lesson about the cycle of life, but that there will be renewal come the next winter. There you go.
It's pretty basic.
Exactly.
And that's fine. You're going to hate me because I don't necessarily care for this song all that much, but it's not terrible. Yeah. And the problem is, I think the main problem with a lot of these songs is that they're just so overplayed.
There is that.
Like, every song on this list is like, oh god, I'm so sick of that. I like it, but I'm sick of it.
Granted, but I think a problem that a lot of Christmas carols and a lot of new attempts at adding to the Christmas Carol album is that they try too hard. They try to be full of meaning and heartfelt moments. And Frosty. He's a snowman. He had a very jolly soul. Boom. Done. End of story. You're happy now.
Yep.
Merry Christmas.
Merry freaking Christmas. Here's your Christmas happiness right here. Now, my number five best song is a very much a Christmas staple at this point, I think. It's one I'm sure a lot of people are familiar with. It is, of course, the arrangement of Carol of the Bells that you've all heard if you listen to any classic rock station about this time of year. Now, Trans-Siberian Orchestra, Ian, is awesome.
Yeah.
And they are actually, what's funny is, they used to be a side project of the metal band Savatage. I believe,
really?
Russian metal band Savatage, yes. That's S-A-V-A-T-A-G-E.
It's like Savage and Sabotage, Savatage.
Yeah, right, yes.
You can't get any more metal than that.
Right, yeah. And they're a freaking awesome band. And of course, they did just straight up awesome 70s and 80s metal. And, oh, you know what? Interesting. They're actually American.
Really?
Yeah. Huh. For some reason, I was thinking they were Russian.
Well, probably because of Siberian.
Probably because of Siberian Orchestra. Yeah. Huh. Okay. Well, I'm glad I looked that up. So they are American. Interesting. So, yeah, I knew they were the side project of a band called Savatage. So, I'm glad I looked up that they are American. So, but still, regardless, freaking awesome song.
It actually almost made it onto my top five list, but then most of my top five list would have been nothing but Trans-Siberian Orchestra, so I had to pick something.
Yeah, that was going to end up being, like, at least half of my top five list, too, and I didn't want to do that. I almost went for the same song you did from
them. Yeah, but we're getting ahead of ourselves.
But yeah, yeah, we'll get there. We'll get there. But yeah, this song just, you know, it just straight up rocks. Carol of the Bells is probably my favorite of the more traditional and, would it be considered a sacred Christmas song or not really?
I would think so.
Is it religious?
Well, the lyrics to the original version are biblical.
Okay. So yeah, I think that would, yeah, Carol of the Bells then is definitely my favorite of the sacred Christmas songs. And this version just rocks.
So, I mean, when you can headbang to a Christmas carol, you know you've hit gold.
Exactly. So Trans-Siberian Orchestra, Christmas Eve, Sarajevo. And this one is Trans-Siberian Orchestra. It's funny because now they are more popular as Trans-Siberian Orchestra than they ever were as Sabotage.
Well, they prove themselves as the gift that keeps on giving.
Yes, yes. And they are now the Christmas band forever.
But with all the good little presents on the tree, we have to deal with some coal. Moving on to my number four worst Christmas-related song. So I know fans of The King are sharpening their pitchforks right now, but this isn't good for Elvis, okay?
No, not really.
And even if you can get past his croony lead vocals, that ooh in the background seems just a little out of sync, just a little out of key, enough that it's like nails on a chalkboard for me.
Yeah. Live recording environments, you know, that's how things were done back in the day, for better or for worse, and in this case, worse.
And the arguably redeemable version of Porky Pig's cover of this,
yes,
while hilarious, is also extremely insensitive to people who actually do have to deal with stuttering.
Yeah.
So, as funny as it is, there's always that little thing in the back of my mind going, that's probably hurting somebody's feelings, and I don't mean to do that, so... Whether you're listening to it legitimately or the parody, it's still bad.
This song benefits from covers, I'd say. It depends on what cover you're listening to, of course. But you can't. I think you could improve it. You just get rid of the singing and replace it with guitars, and you're all good.
Well, that's your answer to everything.
Yeah, you're right. Speaking of rocking.
Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle bell rock. Jingle bells chime in jingle bell time. Snowing and blowing a bushel of fun. Now the jingle hop has begun.
My number four worst song, Jingle Bell Rock. For the same reason as Rocking Around the Christmas Tree, false advertising. Now I know this is rock in the 50s and the 60s. This is what it sounded like. And it's fine. I actually like this classic style of rock and roll. But when you're a kid, you see the name Jingle Bell Rock, you expect, like, I expected Jingle Bells as a rock song, first of all. That's what I expected. I didn't expect a completely different song from the original Jingle Bells. So that was one thing that got me. And then the fact that it wasn't really all that rockin', as far as I was concerned, that kind of threw me off. So I was sad.
This one's one of my guilty pleasures. But again, after about the third time it's played in the same day, it starts to wear on you.
I don't hate it. Honestly, I do like the song. It's just, you know, another case of false advertising.
Don't think they had you in mind when they were writing it, Kyle, but I understand.
Well, that's fine. They don't need to have me in mind for everything. Just most things.
Yeah.
That is completely untrue. Do not keep me in mind for anything. It's not worth it.
Oh, hush you. Now, speaking about catering to personal needs, right here for my number four best Christmas song is
Jingle
Now, like you said, the cover can sometimes make the song. And when I was looking for a specific example of We Three Kings, I ran into a lot of versions that just did not sell the moment for me.
Right.
Now, this version comes from A Claymation Christmas, which, if you enjoy Claymation, classic Claymation, it's absolutely astounding what they do with some of the art. And the doo-wop camels are also delightful. But this rendition of We Three Kings, I think, set the bar for me. The timbre, the pacing, the way that the voices blend together, it gives this regal, uplifting sensation to the whole thing.
Now, I've never heard this version before you sent it to me. And I was pleasantly surprised. I very much enjoyed it.
If you can find a way to get a hold of the whole Christmas special, it's delightful. It's really funny. And again, what they do with Claymation in some of the segments is absolutely astounding. I mean, you wouldn't believe the amount of color and depth and texture that you can get with clay.
Oh, yeah. I'm definitely going to be checking that out, because that was delightful. Speaking of delightful, let's get into my fourth best Christmas song. That's right. I couldn't make it through this list without throwing in some chiptune. That was Rush Coil with Oh Christmas Tree. I love that rendition of Oh Christmas Tree, which I quite enjoy the original Oh Christmas Tree as well.
That's a fun one too.
Yep, it's very good. Or Oh Tannenbaum, whichever version you prefer.
When you sent this to me, I'm like, Kyle, remember, this was Christmas music, not gay music. Oh, I see.
Yeah, you were thinking, Kyle, why did you send me Woodman's theme? I didn't. It's not Woodman's theme. It's Christmas Man's theme.
Honorable mention should go to Fractured Christmas Carol's version of A Christmas Tree, which is done to the sound of a chainsaw.
Nice. Well, this version, though, is from an album by Rush Coil that's really awesome, and I think you can just download it for free. And it's all chiptune covers, kind of in the style of various different video games. Of course, Oh Christmas Tree takes a lot of its cues from Mega Man. There's also ones more based around, like, Castlevania. You got Super Mario Brothers style. It's basically just a mishmash of different arrangements of Christmas songs in different video game styles with chiptune, and it's a lot of fun.
And while we're on the topic of video game Christmas music, another shout-out goes to the 1UP's Super Mario Sleigh Ride.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of feel bad I didn't make it to my list, but go check it out. Look it up on YouTube. It's a delightful mashup of a whole bunch of Mario and Christmas-style songs. It's seamless how it all goes together.
Yep, you can find it on Overclocked Remix as well. That's really good. It almost made my list too, but I wasn't sure how far I wanted to get from, like, you know, at least arrangements of traditional Christmas music, because there's a lot of traditional Christmas music in that song, but it's also a lot of Mario. So
I would have allowed it, especially over my number three worst Christmas song. And the thing is, this isn't even the original version. This is a cover. This thing has come before, and they thought it was a good idea to do it again. Now, don't get me wrong. Christmas is all about giving and sharing and charity, and those are all good things. And sometimes you need to get the word out that, you know, even if you're kind of trapped in your own little world, because the holidays do get very busy. At the same time, this is just a guilt trip song, okay? This isn't about you need to go out and support your fellow man. This is, hey, you look like you might be having a good day. Did you know that there are people dying miserably elsewhere in the world? Merry Christmas.
That's like Merry Christmas, War is Over from John Lennon.
Yeah, and there's a lot of songs like this.
Yeah, that, yeah.
I mean, it feels like I'm trying to say don't raise awareness about troubles in the world, because that's not what I'm saying. And I'm not saying that the holidays are a reason for you to shut out the problems of the world and just focus on yourself, because that's obviously against the idea too. But at the same time, this is supposed to be a season of merriment and happiness and being thankful for what you have, not feeling guilty that you have it.
Now, is this is the second version of this song?
Yes.
That they did for Band-Aid?
Yes.
Okay, so it's for Band-Aid 2. Okay. I was just curious. I'm just looking at who was in this version, and I don't recognize anybody. Except Kylie Minogue.
Give it a few more years, they'll do it a third time, I'm sure.
They did do it a third time.
Oh, did they really?
And then for the 20th anniversary in 2004.
No, I dodged that bullet.
And then for the 30th, yeah, in 2014.
I knew what song I wanted to put on the list. I think I just grabbed the first sample I could find and ran out the door.
Yeah. You know what? This song, to me, is okay. Lyrically, I agree. Lyrically, it's very poor. But musically, I kind of enjoy it. It's very... It's very cheesy and 80s. It's very cheesy 80s. Very, very much just like cranked up. And I'm into that.
I don't know.
I have a big problem with, like, you know, 80s cheese, in that I like it. I like it. It's a problem. I need help.
As punishment, you have to review what your third worst Christmas song is.
Okay. My third worst Christmas carol, if you want to even call it a carol. And that's enough. Simply having a wonderful Christmas time. Simply having a wonderful Christmas time. This song...
See, it's my turn. I actually can unironically listen to this and enjoy it. Once a year, I can get through it and it's like, oh yeah, it's this one. It's so funky, I can go, okay, this is kind of fun.
Uh-huh.
But if I'm in the wrong mood, or if it plays like a second time, then it's like, yeah, we're done. That's okay. I had my fill. No seconds.
Here's the thing. Paul McCartney solo stuff, some of it's not that bad. Band on the Run, Live and Let Die. Those are good songs. This is Paul McCartney just plinking around on some synthesizer that he found in a dumpster. And just doing something with it and going ding dong, ding dong, ding dong. And it's like, what? What is going on?
He's simply having a wonderful Christmas time.
I can tell because he doesn't seem to care about anyone else's ears. He's so wrapped up in having his own wonderful Christmas time that he doesn't care that he's ruining it for everybody else. It's just terrible.
Well, I'll drown it out for you.
Okay.
With my third favorite Christmas song.
Thank you.
Now that's how you do Carol of the Bells, Trans-Siberian Orchestra on the side.
Yes.
And again, I was looking for the right version of this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a straight version, not a cover.
Other than TSO's version. Yeah,
exactly. So a straight version of this, and there's a lot of not so great ones. If you don't have the right amount of oomph in the chorus, it just sounds kind of there. But this, mm-hmm. It's got the swell, it's got the power, it's got all the chutzpah that you could want out of a Christmas carol, which I think I'm mixing my traditions here. But regardless, this song gets you pumped and you don't even need an electric guitar.
Yeah, I know. That's a great thing about this song. It was metal before metal even existed. It's great. Now, my third best Christmas song. Oh, yeah. Go to all the chills and pump all the waves. Electric drummer now from all the other states. Now that, my friends, is Austrian Death Machine.
That was so metal, I think I need a tetanus shot.
Yes, yes you do. Now, Austrian Death Machine is a side project from the vocalist for the death metal band As I Lay Dying. And I am, yes, I know, yes, death metal, that's what we get. I am not really traditionally all that much into death metal, but I freaking love Austrian Death Machine.
It's a they seem to have fun with their genre.
Yes, it's a collaboration of the As I Lay Dying vocalist and Arnold Schwarzenegger. Except, well, unfortunately, it's not actually a collaboration of them, but still, it's awesome. It's hilarious. I love this song. I love Jingle Bells. That's definitely up there in my upper echelons of Christmas music. Just, you know, Jingle Bells. It's a classic song.
It is a good traditional
song. It's fun stuff. But, you know, you put, you know, some almost death metal vocals. There is actually a little bit of a melody to it rather than just straight up screaming. Except during the Christmas party part, which is awesome. But still, it's great. You know, you get some Arnold in there. You gotta have a little bit of Arnold at Christmas. You know, jingle all the way. Come on,
get to the sleigh. Hey. You are one jolly mother.
You want the rubber baby buggy bumpers for Christmas? What kind of Christmas gift is that?
Well, we can't put it off any longer. It's time to get to my number two worst Christmas song.
Emphasis on number two? Sorry, I couldn't resist. It's a baby, an outer space convertible to light blue. I'll wait up for you, dear Santa baby, and hurry down the chimney tonight.
Here's the thing, that isn't even the worst version. I couldn't find the one that really just acts like a cheese grater on my brain. Because the one that they always seem to play on the radio is double the whininess. And that was Madonna! Mm-hmm. Freaking Madonna!
I like Madonna. Not this song.
Madonna's fine! That is what happened when she tried to rescue this song. Didn't work.
Yeah. No.
Now, from what little research I did, I believe the very first rendition of the song was actually sung by Eartha Kitt. And she makes it sound kind of fun and classy because it's Eartha Kitt.
Right, yes.
Every rendition, aside from that, is utterly obnoxious in some shape or form. It's all of the mercantile-driven gimme-gimme-gimme mentality that poisons the holiday distilled into one whiny ballad. Just,
yeah. Now, my worst Christmas song. My second worst Christmas song. Yeah, you know it. I saw mommy kissing Santa Claus underneath the mistletoe last night. She didn't see me. That was the original version of I Saw Mommy Kissing Santa Claus, originally recorded by Jimmy Boyd.
Now, is it the song itself or just this version that you have a version to?
Kind of the song itself. It's kind of creepy. I get it. It's supposed to be innocent and cute, but the implications are a little creepy. I don't know. It's just weird, and I don't know. I've just never liked this song very much in any incarnation I've heard it in, really.
It's not my favorite. I try to give it the benefit of the doubt of sticking on it's the innocent version. Yeah. They don't know, but I get you. I feel you.
I saw Mommy tickle Santa Claus. That's...
underneath his chin so snowy white.
I know.
It's his chin. It's above the belt. It's a family song.
Okay. I'll give you that. It's still, though. Still. That's it.
Now, my number two favorite song, the one that I crank every time it's on the radio, whether my wife wants to hear it or not, is... Now, this is a guilty pleasure. I realize this is probably in the top five worst for a lot of people, but I really like this song. I'm not even a huge fan of Mariah Carey herself, not that she's bad as an artist, but it's not, her music isn't something I seek out personally. This one, though, the pageantry of it, the way that it builds, the epicness of the sound at the very end, it really, really gets me pumped. And being someone who grew up in a long-distance relationship for a long, long time, the whole idea of all I want is to see the person I love really resonates with me.
And being in that same situation myself before, I would agree. And I actually would agree that this song is really good. Listening back to it when you sent it to me, I was... surprised, because all I remembered about it was the intro, the really slow part, and I was going to be like, oh man, this is, what is Ian, come on, what's going on here, man, I'm like, it's not terrible, but it's kind of boring, and then it's picked up, and I'm like, all right, I'm into it now, yeah, okay, I remember this now, this version's great, so yeah, I'm right there with you, this is a fun song for sure. So once it picks up,
you have a fun one for your number two.
Once it picks up, but yes. Oh yeah, my number two. Oh yeah, this one's good. Merry Christmas from Chiron Beta Prime, where we're working in a mine for our robot overlords. Did I say overlords? I meant protectors. Merry Christmas from Chiron Beta Prime. All hail our robot overlords. I'm ready. I mean protectors.
Carol, redacted.
Chiron Beta Prime from Jonathan Coulton. The legendary Jonathan Coulton. Of course, most of you out there probably know him from his work on Portal, the credit songs for both Portal 1 and 2. But, you know, the song is just fun.
He wanted in a very dark sort of way, but yeah, it is a lot of fun.
Right. Well, every song from Jonathan Coulton is fun, even if it's about a dark subject, like regarding your brains.
That's another good one.
It's a very hilarious song about a very dark thing.
It's too bad we don't really have a Halloween carol list, because they don't really do Halloween carols.
Yeah, not so much. There's a lot of Halloween songs, though.
Not really.
Yeah, sure there is.
I can think of like two or three off the top of my head.
Come on, you got a Monster Mash.
Yeah, okay, there's that one.
Yeah, see? Anyway, Chiron Beta Prime, a song about a family getting abducted by robots and sent to some far-off planet where they are forced to live out their days as slaves to the robot empire, digging in the mines for their robot overlords.
But at least they have the holiday spirit.
And they know it's Christmas because they've been counting the days until they die.
Ho, ho, ho.
Yes.
Well, the only thing worse than that is my number one worst song that ever gets played during the Christmas season. Buckle in, kids. Here we go.
Baby, it's cold outside.
The answer is
but
no.
Baby, it's cold outside.
The welcome has
How
been
lucky that you dropped
so
in.
Nice and warm.
Look out the window at that storm.
My sister will be suspicious.
Your lips look delicious.
My brother will be there at the door.
Waves upon a trumpet.
Nothing quite door. Says Merry Christmas like a date rape song.
Ooh, yeah. No.
This is so wrong on every conceivable level. It's not even like I saw Mommy kissing Santa Claus.
No.
Put the innocent filter on.
No.
This is spooky.
This is bad. Yeah, yeah.
And looking up the original comedy musical that this came from, the opening of the act has the male and female lead in his apartment. And while it's extremely well choreographed, because boy, did they know how to dance back in the 1950s, he's removing her hat and removing her shawl and taking her bag and, you know, directing her back to the couch, all while singing these things like, don't hurt my pride, and, you know, here's this spiked drink and all this jazz, and it's really uncomfortable to watch.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that said, the same musical reverses the situation and goes through it again with the female lead trying to seduce the male lead. Which I'm surprised they went that far with it, especially
yeah.
since he's very aggressive with it. But at the same time, that angle is definitely played more for laughs, while the first rendition is supposed to be the male lead being so smooth and suave with his seduction. No thank you. Absolutely wrong. Horrible premise for a song.
Now, I didn't see the video, but I heard what you sent me, and yeah, it's cringeworthy. It also seems a little bit racially insensitive at one point. I'm not sure. It's like
I might have missed that.
It's like the guy puts on like a Mexican accent in the second half.
He may have.
And that made it even worse.
The only version of this song that I have ever heard that didn't make me sneer out of principle was where the male and female lead, as they were singing, the inflection of the lines, how they sang it, made it clear that they were both entering into this situation knowingly.
Right.
That it was just a game that they were playing with each other, and they were on equal footing.
Yeah.
When she sings, "What's in this drink?", it's sung in a way that sounds playful, like she's making the excuse, oh, there must be something in the drink, I can act silly. And that is only acceptable in that it's some kind of odd little Christmas kink that they've got going on. It's two equals entering into a relationship here.
Yeah, yeah.
Every other version of the song plays it straight, and that's just vile.
No. Ooh. Yeah. Speaking of vile.
Oh, yeah, here we go.
My number one worst Christmas song.
Sir, I wanna buy these shoes for my mom. It's Christmas Eve and these shoes are just her size. Could you hurry, sir?
You thought I was lying when I said vile, didn't you?
I had honestly not heard this until now, and now I kind of regret the theme of the show.
Now I've ruined your life. You're welcome.
So to boil it down,
I did warn you. I did warn you.
You did, but I wasn't prepared.
I know. I can tell.
For a Christmas song where the lead singer talks about how God ruined this family's life with pestilence and plague just so he could learn a valuable lesson about charity?
Uh-huh.
Never mind buying the kid the shoes. Buy him some clothes. Buy him a hamburger. Come on.
This song
is even worse guilt trip than the other song in the number threes.
Yes, yes. This song is by a Christian country group called New Song. And it was used as the theme song and basis for the made-for-TV movie The Christmas Shoes, which is the first part of a trilogy of movies.
No.
There is a trilogy of this crap.
No, Kyle, please say you're lying.
I am not. I am absolutely not. And the movie is awful. It is horrendous. It is the most depressing and yet saccharine piece of garbage I have ever seen, and I have not even watched it in full.
That you've watched it in all.
I know. It the fact that I've even laid eyes on it is bad enough.
It's a pity we're audio only, because I think people would pay money to see the look on my face right now. I mean, with Band-Aid, they're trying to spread awareness about global conditions. This travesty is so self-absorbed.
Yes. And it's hilarious, because when I went to look up a YouTube clip of this song,
oh boy,
I went down to the comments. First problem, I went down to the comments. I know.
Should've known better, Kyle.
And people like it. People love this song. They're like, I listen to this song every year. It's the song that gets me in the holiday spirit. And I'm like, what is wrong with you? Do you need help? Please reach out. We can help you.
Nothing can save these people. The only thing that can save us at this point is lots of heavy metal. Kyle, we have to move on to my number one favorite Christmas song.
Do it! Do it now!
Riding in on high like Santa on his sleigh, the Trans-Siberian Orchestra returns with Wizards in Winter to rock away all the gloom and humbug in the season.
Oh, man, yes. I got to be honest with you. The only reason why Trans-Siberian Orchestra was my number five is because that version of the song is so overplayed. But still, this song is fantastic. So good.
And it's one of those songs where I almost have to pull over if I'm driving because I need to rock out that hard.
Yes. Oh, man, yes. I don't even know what to say about it because it's so freaking cool.
I know, right? It just makes you happy.
Yeah.
And that's what Christmas carols should do. They should make you happy.
Yeah.
And this makes me very happy.
Yeah.
Ho, ho.
Yep. And it's a Trans-Siberian Orchestra original, you know, as in they composed it, they wrote it, they performed it, it's all theirs, which makes it even better than Christmas Eve Sarajevo, in my opinion, because it's freaking great and it shows their talent as a band.
I don't know if I would say better, but it's like turkey and stuffing. They go together. They're equally great. Right. And they complement each other.
I would agree. There you go.
And I can just consume both of them nonstop.
Indeed. Now, speaking of metal, speaking of rockin', here's my number one best Christmas song. Now this is what I'm talking about. I gotta say, Mr. Grinch, probably my favorite holiday special. I really relate to the Grinch. At least before his heart grows three sizes. Then it completely loses me. I'm just kidding, but I do love this song. And I love the original as well. It's great. And Gary Hoey, he is a very long-time solo guitarist. He, you know, kind of on the level of like Joe Satriani and Steve Vai, who's just been at this for years and is just basically virtuosic in my book. He did an entire two-disc set of Christmas songs, mostly in this style. Sometimes he slows it down, tones it down a little bit, keeps some of the spirit of some of the slower songs, but other ones he just cranks up and rips through them like this one. And that wah guitar for the lead, it just works so well for me. I love this song.
Now, I put Thurl Ravenscroft version on a high pedestal because, number one, when your name is Thurl Ravenscroft...
That's true. That's very true.
You're super awesome. Number two, when you have a voice like that, you've ascended to a godlike level.
Mm-hmm.
So to even approach this song is on already tenuous ground with me, but this works. This is fun.
It's very fun. Yeah, that's really what the whole album is. And the album is called Ho Ho Hoey, which is, you know, a pretty hilarious pun. It's clever. It's up there. And it's just great stuff. If you're into Christmas music, but you want to hear something a little bit different, and you're into the guitar-driven stuff like I am, you'll enjoy it. You'll have fun with it. I gotta say, 12 Days of Christmas in his style is great. And also Joy to the World. That's a lot of fun.
I'm going to have to look this up.
He also does a version of Carol of the Bells. It doesn't really approach Trans-Siberian Orchestra's version, but it's good in its own right, so it's worth listening to. So, yeah, I highly recommend checking him out. He's an indie artist, so, you know, go check him out. He needs all the help he can get.
Exactly.
So, but yeah, well, that's right up there with my number one.
Well, we hope you've enjoyed our good and bad for the season. I know we've had some fun putting this together, even when it was going through the bottom five. But it's all made better because of the top five. Yes. And really, it's all about the joy. And if you enjoyed our pain, then we've brought you joy. And that's how it works out.
Exactly. Exactly.
We're going to move on to our ad for today's show, brought to us by our good friend Daniel H. And in the spirit of bringing joy and giving to your fellow man, Christmas is drawing closer, and as we prepare to spend quality time with those that mean the most to us, there will be those without family and loved ones, unfortunately. The Bowery Ministry is providing food, shelter, clothing, recovery programs, employment training, and spiritual comfort for the homeless and at-risk youth of New York. Please consider visiting their website at www.bowery.org and consider donating. Daniel says thank you very much for your time and consideration, and we do the same. We'll have a link for it in the section below.
Awesome. Yeah, try to give back if you can this holiday season. Try to give back, you know, a little bit. A little bit can go a long way.
And at the risk of sounding selfish, if you would like to give to us, you can buy your own ad space just like Daniel has done. Go to patreon.com/bumblecast. We have a number of options set up, and you can have us sell whatever you like on the show.
Yeah, do that.
But enough about giving to us. It's time for us to give something away. That's right, it's time to announce the latest winner of the Bumble Raffle!
Woohoo!
Now, the Bumble Raffle is a contest we have every show where some lucky listener wins an autographed comic from yours truly. If you want to enter into the contest, either be a patron over at patreon.com/bumblecast, that way you're entered into every drawing, or write into bumblecast@yahoo.com. You have to write in for every show, but you get the same entry level as everybody else. Now, today's winner is...
Congratulations, Sam Cybercat. You are the lucky winner. Come on down. You're the next contestant on the Bumblecast. That's not our theme song.
Well, no, but...
I know.
Fine. We'll get in contact with you later, Sam, to find out where we're going to be sending that book to you.
Awesome. All right. Let's get into some Q&A action.
The gift that keeps on giving.
Yes, indeed. Now, we're going to get to the Patreon priority Q&A first. But don't forget that you can ask your questions by email, by emailing us at bumblecast@yahoo.com, hitting us up on Twitter at KyleJCRB or at IanFlynnBKC using the hashtag BumbleCast, or via Patreon comments or messages. We will see them for sure. This first question from our Patreon subscribers comes from none other than Sam Cybercat.
Congratulations again!
Yes! Wow, you won twice. You are a true Cybercat master. In episode 31, you mentioned that you've been playing Animal Crossing recently. So I have to ask, who are your favorite villagers?
Oh, shoot. Actually, it's been a while since I actually played Animal Crossing. When they did the major update, I dabbled in a little bit. But I haven't really managed my town in forever. But I don't think there's any one particular villager that stood out to me. It's usually the personality types, because there's like, I think, 8 personality types that define how they react to things and their stock phrases and whatnot. Hmm. So usually it's the, I guess in Japanese it translates to big sister type, that are comforting, but they got a lot of sass to them. And maybe, I guess it translates to the jock type amongst the guys, because they're hilariously dumb and very energetic. They are always out to do something or eat something. They just got a lot of personality to them.
So does, would like characters, specific characters like KK Slider count as villagers?
Not really, since they're more of...
Because if we're talking specific characters, my only favorite character is going to be KK Slider.
KK Slider said that, I mean, if we're going to go with just straight up all the characters, pretty much I love all of the main cast, all the utility characters. KK Slider's awesome. Kix is great because the first time he shows up, he's this poor little shoeshine orphan boy who works his way up to owning his own store. What's the pigeon's name?
I don't know.
there's this pigeon. Sorry? Thank you. Brewster is this pigeon who runs this coffee shop, and he's just, you have to warm up to him, or rather, he has to warm up to you, so you have to keep going to the coffee shop, but he's really cool. The Able sisters are really sweet. Isabel is the only reason my town still functions. Tom Nook is terrifying, along with his two mini clones that he claims are his nephews or cousins. It's a lie. They're clones. Evil little spawn clones. Pete the Pelican, the mailman guy, he works so hard. Pelly is so sweet. I don't know. Just the whole cast of characters is a lot of fun.
I'd say most of the characters are really, they're kind of adorable. They're cute. Yeah. I like their designs, but, you know, KK Slider's the one for me.
I wonder why.
The guitar wielding dog. He's cute. And he sings. And his singing is hilarious.
And in the last game that came out, he's a DJ for most of the week.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then on the weekends, if you go to the club, he does acoustic sets.
Yeah. It's fun. I like it. I like KK. He's the only Animal Crossing amiibo I own.
Oh, well, there you go then.
Yeah. This next question.
Wait. Go I forgot ahead, the best
go
one.
Ahead. Go.
I forgot the best one. Cap'n. He's a Kappa. And he's a salty sea dog. Arr.
Okay.
He's a taxi cab driver, but it don't matter because he's a Cap'n.
I'll give you that one. Okay. I like that one. Next question from Yams88. When it comes to Sonic canon and continuity, I know things are complicated and never a direct answer to this. However, is the Sonic OVA at all relevant when it comes to material in the comics and maybe even the games? Sega seems to be taking a very strict approach on Metal's personality, but I'm curious if anything from that movie would at all creep up in material again, or is it just its own entity?
The OVA is pretty much off limits. It is its own thing. Whatever they were trying to do with it at the time is over and done with. Now, you know me. I love to do my little callbacks, my Easter eggs, my homages to the entire franchise. So I'm sure at some point I will find a little wink nudge moment, a little bone to throw to that. But overall, consider the OAV its own little bubble off to the side.
The Sonic creators really have this strange tendency to want to pair Sonic up with a human woman. They keep doing that.
I don't know.
They've tried to do it 3 times so far. What's up with that? What are they doing?
And Sarah, you could argue, is maybe a human hybrid. Who knows? Yeah, I mean, they never like really explained the whole cat ears and tail
like
thing.
Cat girl, maybe, but still, it's awkward. Anyway, last question from Zephyr Flame, last Patreon question. I have this burning question that I need answered right away. If Eggman's 12 lieutenants are Eggman's dozen, does that make Cassia the baker's dozen?
Yes. Yes, it does. Ba-dum.
You're welcome. I didn't mean to do that. We're cutting that out. We're not cutting that out. Standard Q&A time from Lord Laharl's vassal. How many years do I have to wait to see Eclipse again?
Not too long, hopefully. We had told his particular arc up to a point, focused on some other things. But definitely do have plans for where we'll see him next and his next confrontation with Shadow.
All right. So hopefully before the actual eclipse next year.
When is the next eclipse?
Which one? Solar or lunar?
I don't know, man. You're the one throwing out these things.
Okay, February for lunar and August for solar.
No and no. Maybe.
No and maybe. Okay, got it. Just making sure. Quantum Edge wants to know, will the SCR robots from Zero Gravity ever make an appearance, or are they a little too out there?
Shoot, I'd have to actually review my continuity here, but I think the SCR robots were more security droids when they were working for Mediatek.
I don't know. I need to play Zero Gravity again.
I'm pretty sure that was it. If we ever returned it to Mediatek, it would stand to reason that they could be security robots there. I don't have a driving passion to see them again, and they aren't really fan-favorite robots, so I'm not really under any incentive to come back to them, but it's something for me to go back and review and possibly consider.
You might get to it someday.
Yeah, I mean, if we need to do something a little more lively than Badniks once in a while, who knows?
Yeah. And our last question comes from Fritzy Beat. If someone was to make a full-length movie about your life story, who would you want to be cast as you? Yeah, I don't know.
See, there's a number of actors who I would be absolutely flattered to represent me on the big screen, but at the same time, I would hope that their careers hadn't sunk so low that they had to do the 30-minute made-for-TV movie of me. You know, that guy who maybe wrote something? Who knows? I don't know. I've never thought about that.
Neither have I, until now. At least you'd get 30 minutes.
I'm mine being would generous
be,
here.
Mine might be one of those 11-minute cartoons. And it would be a very boring cartoon.
Let's split the difference. They're just like in between commercial breaks for the two of us.
With tiny bits of excitement here and there.
I'm going to just have to chalk up a I don't know to that one.
Yeah, I don't really know either, to be honest with you. Like, yeah, there are definitely people who would be cool if they were to portray me, but I really don't know who would do a good job or not. I don't know. Maybe this is one we should put out to the listeners. Maybe they can tell us who they think would portray us the best.
I'm almost afraid of what the answers might be, but yeah. Also intrigued.
I am intrigued, yeah. I don't know. It would be interesting. What do you guys think?
Although, now that I think about it for half a second, if it was done by Jim Henson Productions, Fozzie Bear.
Okay. I could kind of see that.
Ah, welcome to the Bubble Cast!
And you could split me up into two, and I could be, what's their names?
Statler and Waldorf?
Yes, that's it. Thank you. I always forget their names, but I love them, so I don't know why I forget their names. I'm just bad with names, I guess. But anyway, yeah, split me up, and I'll be Statler and Waldorf. It fits, because I love Mystery Science Theater 3000, and, you know, sitting there and making jerk commentary on things. It's fun.
If I had half a mind, I'd leave this show with still more than they have collectively. Oh!
Yes. And that's it for the Q&A this week. Got anything else we need to cover before we get into the plugs, Ian?
I don't think so. I've already told you to check out Sonic Boom on the 17th of December.
Trouble keeps you running faster. Don't forget. And go save the planet from disaster while you're at it.
Why you gotta do that to me, man? It's not that boom. I've told you before. It's not that boom.
I'm sorry. I just love Sonic Boom, the song. The cartoon is fun, too. But, you know, the song. It's a song. I'm sorry.
That's okay. Before we wrap up the show, we're going to give a quick shout-out to everyone who supported us on Patreon for so long. Thank you very much, guys. Your generosity is overwhelming. Big shout-out to Daniel H., Zephyr Flame, John B., Sam Cybercat, Deus Miles, Yams88, Mike B., Fancy Fool, Connell T., Daniel L., Samuel P., Justin G., Jennifer R., Candy, for now, Andrew F., John M., S. Yovanovich 9X, Alex P., and James K. Once again, guys, thank you so very much for supporting the show. If you want to follow what I'm doing, head over to BumbleKing.com. That's Bumble like the bee, King like the reigning monarch. It's got my portfolio. It's got whenever I can update the blogs on Thursday. I've been very busy lately. Or you can go to at IanFlynnBKC on Twitter to see whatever I'm rambling about at the time.
And, of course, you can find me over on Twitter at KyleJCRB. And you can find what I'm doing over at KNGI.org. You can keep up with this show and many others going on, including my live show that I stream every week over on 8bitx.com called Game Fuel. If you're looking for awesome video game music arrangements, remixes, even some original stuff here and there, you'll want to tune in 7 p.m. Eastern time every Saturday. Just wrapped up Nintendo November, so we're getting back into the swing of things as far as just having fun, doing whatever, and all that fun stuff. So, unfortunately, I won't be doing an episode on Christmas Eve, Saturday the 24th, but every other Saturday this month, I'll be there. That's going to do it for this edition of the Bumblecast.
We will see you on Boxing Day. That's the day after Christmas for you guys in the States, for our last episode of the year, the very last episode of Season 2.
Woohoo! We're going to play some Punch-Out because it's Boxing Day.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's what
It's going to be hard to reach across the microphone, but, you know, we'll try.
We'll try. That's what I did last year. I did a Punch-Out special for my show, and it was awesome. It was right on Boxing Day. It was great.
So anyway, you're saying you spiked the punch for your holiday show.
Exactly, yes. It was great. I love Boxing Day.
Happy holidays, everybody. We'll see you in a couple weeks.
Happy Boxing Day! Was that Candy for Now in there? What's up?
That's their name.
Okay, cool. They're Candy for Now. I don't know. I like candy all the time. I don't want candy for now. I want it always.
I mean, there might be an incidence of there being no candy, but that's what they call themselves, Candy for Now. With a dramatic ellipsis in there.
Okay, that's fine.
I don't know, I think it's fun.
Sure.
For now.
Hey, thanks for listening to the Bumblecast. If you like the show, be sure to hit that subscribe button and consider supporting us on Patreon. We have some great rewards as well as big plans to make the show even better. Also, rate and review the show on iTunes. It gets more folks listening and really helps us out, so we definitely appreciate it. Original music by Ken Coda Snyder, used with permission. Find more of his music at bc.s3m.us and find the theme song at noisechanradio.bandcamp.com, available as a pay what you want download.
Frosty the Snowman, and I can't be so goodbye, but no.
Stop it.
Me out of cold. You're welcome.